As well, there is an announcement in the back of the bulletin. Could you all look to the back corner over there? And Kim, could you just wave your hand real quick? All right. That lady, give her a great big hug or take her to lunch or do something extremely nice for her, because she has taken on our church library and she is going through and removing a lot of things that we don't need in there. And you can see in the announcement in the back of the bulletin that there are about 50 VHS tapes. If you're interested in some of those VHS tapes, so you have something that will play them, you might not want to use it. It's an antique. You might want to see if you can sell it on Antiques Roadshow or something like that. But there are a number of tapes and books that are in the Westminster Room. Please feel free to go through and look through those books. If there's anything that you'd like, make note of that. There's a log and registry right there. But we certainly do want to thank Kim for all the work that she's put into getting our library back up and in good shape. I do have some sad news this morning. Liz Goodman passed away. And while we will mourn her loss, we will celebrate that she is now part of the church triumphant. Liz had a reoccurrence of her liver cancer, and she passed away yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. There will be a funeral for her next Saturday at 2 p.m., and then there will be a reception to follow. And any other updates, we'll send out an email to let you all know. I do have good news. Jesus is alive and with us. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. Let's join together in our responsive call to worship found printed in your bulletin. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up, who do not lift up their souls to what is false. Let us worship God. Let us join together in Hymn of Worship 293, This Is My Father's World. may be seated. It is right and proper that we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we have fallen short of being the people that God created us to be. Let us join together in our prayer of confession, and then in silence let us admit to God what lies hidden in our hearts. God of redeeming grace, have mercy upon us as we confess our sin. Charged to travel light, we overburden ourselves. Commissioned to preach repentance, we ourselves do not change. Cautioned to avoid violence, we are quick to confront others. Called to be reconcilers, we create divisions. As Christ sends us forth and equips us to serve, cleanse us of abuse, trust his name. Amen. Let us join together in the assurance of pardon. Remember that we have redemption through Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. Children can come forward. It's rough when Dad's up here, right? All right, so I'm gonna ask you a question. Oh man, this is tough, isn't it? I know. How often do you tell God thank you? A lot of times? Yes, those are the right answers, aren't they? Yes. All right, well, I want to read a Bible passage, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says this: give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this verse, does it tell us to give thanks sometimes? No. What does it say? All the time, give thanks in everything. That's right. That's right. We are always to give God thanks, not just when we win a game or when we get a good grade on a report card or a test or when something good happens. We are to give thanks to God even if we lose or if something bad happens, because we have to remember that God is in control of everything. And through this understanding, we can have faith that what we see as good is that's from God, and what we see as bad, well, God will use that for good. Does that make sense? Okay. So we give thanks to God in what? Everything. In everything, that's right. All right, shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time together, and we ask that you would help us to remember that you are God that loves us, and to give thanks in all things. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. And I give thanks that they were well behaved. Let us join together in our unison prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. May the word of God spoken today compel us to worship without ceasing to the praise of Christ's glorious grace. Amen. Scripture lesson this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. To the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you to the choir for a beautiful, beautiful anthem, and to Jackson for reading that not so easy to read scripture passage. We'll be looking at, for the next few weeks, the epistle to the Ephesians, and Paul tends to have these wonderful passages, gorgeous language, put in sentences that last for paragraphs. So we have these wonderful gifts, and it is such a special time to read through and examine Ephesians, because it speaks today to the situation where we have folks that just cannot seem to agree with one another, and the letter to the Ephesians was written to people who also could not cooperate with one another, and so it's always good to learn the lessons from centuries ago that apply so well to today. There is no better scripture passage to use as we gather around the Lord's table than our passage from Ephesians for this morning. In fact, there is no better way to begin a study of Ephesians than celebrating communion. They go together incredibly well. There's no better way to celebrate the sheer joy of living as God's people than to celebrate the Lord's Supper and reading and expounding upon Ephesians chapter 1. And yet, that can all depend on your perspective. Sometimes I like to imagine what it must be like to read about Jesus, encounter his teachings and his healing and his sacrifice for us on the cross, as if I were reading them for the first time. You know, if I didn't know better, and if I didn't know how the story ends, or better, how it doesn't end, I might think of Jesus as a wonderful historical figure, a wise teacher, a good and loving individual who was betrayed by his friends, left alone to die a horrible death, a failure in the eyes of the mighty and powerful of his day. I might come into this church on a Sunday morning when we're celebrating communion. If I didn't know better, I'd think that of this as kind of an odd remembrance of his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, and think to myself, what a rather gruesome ritual to be part of. I might look at the title of today's sermon and think, what in any way does this talk about the joy of living as God's people? For there is no joy in death and suffering and blood spilt or sacrifice of anything. Also, I think every Sunday I get up here, I have to admit to myself that there are Sundays when I stand up in a pulpit and my first thoughts are not about the scriptures. They may be about my wife's health or my mother's health or my father-in-law's health or the employment status of my son. I might think of all the prayers of the people in this congregation and throughout the world who are going through various trials and tribulations, families such as the Goodman family. I'm not sure when I stand up here what I would say in certain circumstances. I know as people come to the table today, we come at different places in our lives. As we take part in this sacrament, there will be folks who are in pain, who have suffered loss, who are going through difficult times in their lives. And maybe they might miss the joy that is available to them through the sacrament. But that's where the letter to the Ephesians and our passage for this morning serve so well as an introduction to the sacrament. It reminds us that no matter what our life's circumstances may be, or what we may be going through, we have a Savior who knows what we're going through, who can bring us back to the joy that we are meant to live into. Listen to these wonderful words that the writer uses to describe the relationship we should all have to this supper and to the Lord of life, who is with us today and every day. Beautiful words. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us to be blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. More wonderful words. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption. Redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure that he set things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to his purposes, who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hopes in Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Have you ever, when you get into those destins, have you ever heard anything more Presbyterian than Ephesians 1? Have you ever heard anything more uplifting than the glorious hopefulness? We have been blessed. We have been chosen. We have been adopted as God's children. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. We have the benefit of God's wisdom and insight, gift upon gift. We have a heavenly inheritance. We have counsel and purpose and hope, and all through the supposed loser of a first century rabbi who taught his disciples to love one another just as he had loved them. We are blessed. Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, once had her house broken into, and the robbers took almost everything of value. The night after the break-in, Ms. Lotz lay awake, filled with fear in her heart and her mind, and not only had she lost all of her valuable possessions, but she had lost her sense of security. And she began worrying about all the other precious things in her life that she could lose. Through illness or accident, she could lose her children or her husband. She could lose her health. She could lose her job, her finances, or even her reputation. And just as the anxiety was about to take over completely, she recalled the words of 1 Peter 1, verse 4. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance Hear that again, the inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for all of us. Did you catch that? That inheritance cannot be taken away. And Ann Lotz sat down and made this wonderful alphabetical list of her eternal, or of her eternal blessings that could never be taken away from her. Listen to the items on her list and notice that she uses the alphabet as she wrote. She says, I am accepted by God, beloved by God, chosen by God, delivered by God, enlightened by God, forgiven by God. I have got the grace of God, hope for the future, inheritance in heaven, justification, knowledge of God, love, mercy of God, nearness to God, oneness with God, peace, quickening of the Spirit. I am redeemed, sealed with the Holy Spirit, treasured by God, united with other believers, validated as an authentic child of God. I have His wisdom, and one day I will be exalted with Him. Now, I couldn't think of a Z word either. But what a beautiful way of saying that we are blessed with an ongoing inheritance from God. What a wonderful perspective with which to come to the table today. When we read Ephesians and we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that we are blessed and that we are adopted by God as His children. Billy Strayhorn had a wonderful litany that he used at camp to remind the young people that they were adopted as God's children. He titled it, I Am God's Child. He said, I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may be young, I may be old, I may be hot, I may be cold, but I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may be educated, I may be unlettered, I may be free, or I may be fettered, but I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may be black, I may be brown, I may be white, I may be a clown, but I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may be rich, I may be poor, I may wear a brace, I may even snore. That one gets me. But I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may be short, I may be tall, I may have hair, I may be bald, but I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may be fat, I may be skinny, I may have muscles or not have any, but I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may have a family, I may be all alone, I may be married, I may be divorced, but I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may live in a house, I may live in a trailer, I may be successful, I may be a failure, but I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. I may be a sinner, I may be a saint, but a nobody I certainly ain't, because my friend Jesus is my Savior, and I am God's child. Yes, I am God's child. A wonderful reminder, just as Ephesians 1 is a wonderful reminder of whose we are, of where we stand with God. No matter how we come to the table or what we bring to it, the Lord sends us away from it, blessed with the gift of life, adopted as God's beloved children. And it's all a gift. It's not our doing. In fact, these verses offer no obvious instruction, nothing for us to do but live for the praise of His glory. In the words of the Westminster Catechism, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Ephesians, and the sacrament remind us of God's love for us. And the flowing words of our passage envelop us with the kind of love, excessive, endearing, richly abundant love. As beloved as we are lifted up. We're lifted up into something greater than ourselves. We are blessed in Christ. We are chosen in Christ. We are destined for adoption through Christ. In Christ we have obtained our inheritance, and our hope is set on Christ. In Christ we have obtained our inheritance, and our hope is set. Moreover, the constant plural pronoun reminds us that this gift is not an individual blessing, but always for the community of Christ. This passage offers a counter to the world's understanding of what's worthy. It isn't merely that we are somehow special, but rather that we have been taken up into something extraordinary and offered this gift to receive as our own. Like a pauper invited to take the place of a prince or a princess, we have been invited to share the riches of God's grace. God has accomplished all of this on behalf of and through Christ, so that we might live as God's own children. As we come to this table, remember the sheer joy of living as God's people, of living as God's children, and you will find everlasting hope. Amen.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. We shall come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at table with our Lord. When our Lord was at table, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Let us too come to this table, recognizing that this is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites all those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. Let us pray. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
You commanded light to shine out of the darkness, O Lord. You divided the sun and the dry land, created the vast universe, and called it good. You made us in your image to live with one another in love. You gave us the breath of life and freedom to choose your way. You promised yourself in covenant with Abraham and Sarah, told us your purpose in the commandments through Moses, and called for justice in the city of the prophets. Through long generations, you have been faithful and kind to all your children. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. Therefore, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, joining our voices with choirs of angels, and with all the faithful of every time and every place, who forever sing to the glory of your name, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he
in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you, most holy God, for sending your only Son to live among us. Sharing our joy and sorrow, he told your story, healed the sick, and was a friend of sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and died that we might live. We praise you that he overcame death and is risen to raise the world. He is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power that can hurt or divide us, and believe that when he comes in glory, we will celebrate victory with him. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and fruit of the vine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ. Redeemed by his blood, send out in the power of the Spirit to live for others as Christ lived for us, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. By your Spirit, draw us together into one body and join us to Christ the Lord, that we may remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Hear the prayers we pray for those who cannot be with us this morning and yet are in our hearts as we pray silently. Join us together with each of them, with the family of Elizabeth Goodman, with Claudine, with Nelson, with Diane, with Bill, with Martha Jo, with Beth and Ellen and Friel. Hear our prayers for Ella, for Jim Turner, for Tom West. We give you thanks that your healing mercies have been at work within Betty, with Helen, with Tim and Caden, with Mac and Nolte. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and hear us as we join together praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you whenever you eat this bread or you drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the risen Lord until he comes again. Come, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and eat."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, you graciously fed us, who have received these holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see your face, to see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the living, giving power of your Spirit. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering?
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, as David brought up the Ark of the Covenant with much dancing and singing, we also rejoice as we offer our gifts. As the Ark held the commandments, may our gifts receive your approval. As the Ark was the sign of your covenant, let our gifts bear witness to your love. As the Ark brought hope to the people, use our gifts to bring relief to the needy. Accept these offerings in response to your graciousness, and may all who receive them find joy in new life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn is number 465. Hear, O Lord, your servants gather.
Likewise,